was a problem, yo, I saw him.
Where to your mother?
All right, and here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Two Cool Moms, starring Joe Gatto and my friend
Steve Byrne.
Here we are, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into another episode where we're just two guys out here trying to help the world.
We are.
We're doing our part. DM at a time. It's really, people are sliding in, dropping dilemmas, and we do what we can.
Yeah.
Not well. I know what you're thinking.
No. I think we, well, I'll just come out of the gates.
Go.
Remember I read one.
You just came off scoping to see what we had in the chamber, and your tone changed. So let's see what happens here.
Do you remember there was an episode, I think, one or two ago, or three ago, where I just read.
Yes.
Like, it just went on and on. I was crying. I was laughing. So Lexi wrote, "Oh, my God, I really didn't expect you to read all that I thought I should give you an update. Let you know things have gotten better, and my stepmom is more relaxed and feeling herself again. Hearing you read all that was hilarious. I appreciate you guys taking the time to read what I wrote."
That's super
sweet.
So
that's from Alexi.
We do get in there. People like you guys have producers and do it. No, we're in the nitty gritty. We're opening them up.
We're in the foxhole with you.
We are. We're scrolling, looking, answering, asking, debating. We're doing it all.
Who?
What? Where?
Why?
Why?
How?
It's a big question. How? Do your kids do that thing when they go, why? They keep asking why? 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 Like to keep building? Do they do that? When they were little?
Yeah, of course. You?
My son does. My daughter didn't. And the other day we're having dinner and my son kept doing it. And my daughter went, she was eating. She didn't even look up. It was hysterical. She was eating. We were having spaghetti. So she was having some spaghetti. And she was literally had a mouthful of spaghetti. She went, "Oh, shut up."
Really?
And we don't say shut up in my house.
Right.
So she looked and she was like, "I mean, he just keeps saying why." I said, "That was funny. It's okay." And Betsy was like, "It's okay if she says shut up." I said, "Well, that was more of a joke than anything. Yeah.
We have a rule where if I swear, which is quite often, the kids have 3 seconds to say it.
No way.
They have 3 seconds, yeah.
Oh my God.
So if I'm driving and somebody cuts me off, I'm like, "You motherfucker." Then my Kent goes, "Dad, one, two, motherfucker."
That's funny.
It's pretty great.
Where did that rule come from? Did you just make that up for fun times?
I just made it up for fun because I do it so often. But they've heard it. And I just go, you know, these are adult things. You don't say them. You have to be a certain age to say them. In our house, Daddy says them a lot. Daddy makes a living saying them.
There you go.
But please do your best to not say them because you get in trouble at school. And I don't want you getting in trouble. You know.
Nice.
One of my favorites was Billy Gardell told me his son, Will, who's actually in college now, when he was a kid, he you know, Billy loves pasta. And his wife made a nice batch of pasta. And so she brought some shredded Parmesan cheese and put it on Will's plate. He's like 5 or 6 at the time. And she sprinkles cheese on his plate. And he looks up at her and she's like, "What?" He's like, "Nah, I can't enjoy it." I thought that was just such a great line for a kid to say. "Now I can't enjoy it. I'll eat it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to enjoy it."
My niece, when she was little, she mixed up what the middle finger was, like to flip somebody off.
Yeah.
And she got mad at my sister. And she went, "Mom, I'm so mad." She was like three or four years old. She goes, "Mom, I'm so mad you just..." She gave her the pinky.
Really?
Which I just think is hysterical.
With that face too.
Yeah. You could just mom.
Yeah, hearing kids swear is my favorite. Oh, I love
it. So fun. Yeah. Do you get caught flipping off your parents? My sister got caught flipping off my mom in a mirror. So she she saw it in the mirror because my sister didn't clean up her room, whatever, and my mom was going down the stairs. And my mom was crazy Sicilian, batshit crazy. Loved her. I used to beat my sister for sport. So she has to go. She goes, we have like a winding staircase at the old house on Harbor Road. And she was like, "And another thing, you know, you got to, you know, make sure you clean up your room." And she like did her big exit. My mom turned around and my sister's had a door. Their bedroom door had their full length mirror on it. Right. So the door was open. So she could see where my sister was standing on through the mirror. And my sister goes, as soon as she finished, you know, started down the stairs, my sister went, gave it a double bird. Yeah. And my mother turns around and goes, "And another thing," and sees her in the mirror. And my sister's confidence
dwindled.
Yeah. So she went and tried to attack her. And my oldest sister, Gina, got in the middle and stopped. You know, I was like, Mom, stop. You're going to kill her. You're gonna kill. She's like, get her out of my house. And she threw her out of the house in just a T-shirt and her underwear.
Yeah.
This is because it was like cleaning day, whatever. She's like, get out of the house. And she went. And my sister is so brazen. She was like, fine, I don't want to leave here anyway. And she left. And she left the neighbor, and she just like left the yard.
This is summer, though, right?
This is summer, yeah. Okay. So she went around, and then my mom was like being all, you know, my mom was like, this bitch, she could do this to me. And then it turned to, where the hell is she? Like one of those. Right. And then there's like, and then she goes to me, go find your sister. And right. I said, what? She said, go find. I said, where? She goes, go find. So I got on my bike and I'm driving around and I turn the corner a couple blocks away, and there's my sister sitting on her friend's stoop. Nobody's there, just her. She's on the stairs, and I roll up, and I'm like, yeah, Mom wants you to come home. And she's like, I'm not coming home. You tell her. I said, Carla, you know what's going to happen to me if I do that. You got to come home.
Right, right, yeah.
So we went. I said, I'll come in with you. We'll do it together. Mm-hmm. And we drove home, and we came in. My mom went, get upstairs, because she was happy she was home.
Of course, yeah.
And, yeah, it was very funny that I had to go find her in the streets, and she's just sitting on the stoop.
How old is she at the time?
She was probably like 14.
In like neighborhood, you can do that. Right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is 1984. Yeah, so like it was.
It's the 80s.
It's the 80s. No rules.
You know, it's crazy. Like, I think I got a few fresh ones in my day, mm-hmm. right? My mom would crack me off. My dad, for certain. But I've never even gotten a point where I felt like
you should
impatient enough to want to give him a freshie. I haven't. But I think that'll come in high school, junior high school.
I've done a face grab to get their attention.
Yeah.
Like listen to what I'm saying, like around like that thing, you know, like you do that. But my mom was always a disciplinarian, and my dad wasn't. He was just basically like, he would come home so many times mm-hmm. We had a big dining room table, oval dining room table, and we picked up eventually that my mom couldn't catch us. We just kept running around the table. So we'd run around the table, whatever, and she would come home. Like, he would come in the house, and we'd be in full, like, it looked like one of those, you remember the Pirates of the Caribbean, where she's, like, running in a circle chasing the cat with the broom?
Right.
Like, that thing, like, she was chasing us around the table, and my dad would just get in the way of her and be like, okay, and she would, and he'd let you by, like, oh, I tried to get him, and then you'd run upstairs, and he would calm her down. And that was, he'd had to come home every summer, at least every other night, one kid is getting chased around that table.
Sure, of course.
Putting in like a horse track. Yeah. It was like, did you ever go see dog races? Did you ever see dog races?
You see the rabbit. Yeah. You just put the rabbit around him.
Yeah.
My poor dad, he worked at the Yellow Pages, and he had like a management position. And when I was in junior high school and high school, my brother and I would fight. Not only fight, we'd call my dad while he's at work. And Will did the. I mean, I can't imagine. He would actually sit there and like field the call. So looking back, he's either A, super bored at work,
right?
B, doesn't give a shit about his job, or C, was just like, you know, just like a really good parent, and he would just sit there and like, okay, what happened again? Okay, let's watch. Or you get the one day where it's like, I'm working. Yeah, God damn it, click. But I can't imagine like if my kids were calling me while I was at work, I'd be like, fucking figure it out. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah. You're on stage. You're like, excuse me.
Oh, I'm sure that's going to happen at some point.
Oh, yeah.
FaceTime.
Yeah. I got a FaceTime once when Milana, I was just about to go on stage and she FaceTimed me. And I answered it quick and I said, I got to go. She's like, let me come out with you. I'm like, no, I got to go. Yeah.
See, it's all nice and sweet now, but I think 14, 15, 16, that's when we'll get some hairy calls.
Yeah, we'll get some. I think you're going to start getting some from the wives, too, being like, talk to your daughter. My mom used to say that all the time. You got to talk to your daughter. It's your daughter now. I had nothing to do with it.
Did you have a spoon? Did your mom have a spoon?
Oh, many a spoon.
She cracked you?
Many spoons. My mom was badass, yeah. The bigger the spoon, the more trouble you knew you were in, because she had a whole drawer of them, you know?
Oh, no, she had like
the drawer open. She's like, all right, and she would get the thick one.
Yeah.
If you got the thick one, you did something bad. Yeah,
and a lot the of sauce times, spoon.
Yeah, the sauce spoon. I've had fresh marinade stains on me as I was getting
scalding
marinade. She would come out of the pot and hit you with it. It'd be great. Oh my God, yeah.
My mom, she cracked me one day with the spoon, and it split like the thing split in half. And we looked at each other. We just started laughing.
Oh, did you?
I was like, it's funny. And it was like she laughed so hard that it was like, okay, now tension's gone.
Yeah.
A week later, like I acted up again. And she goes to the drawer and pulls out a new spoon. Because I preempted it. Was like, it's Mom, you don't got a spoon.
No spoon.
And she's like, oh, really? Boom. And it was bigger. And like, I was
bigger,
like, and The laugh stopped. Yeah.
My mother, you know, you think about it, I guess it just dribble. It just, over the years, it comes down less and less and less. Because my grandmother, there's a story of my grandmother threw a cast iron pot at my uncle's head.
What?
And he missed her. And she got mad at him that he dented the pot.
Are you serious?
Swear to God. Yeah.
By the way, you're dead if you get hit in the head 100%. With a cast iron pot.
Good thing you had good reflexes.
Oh my God.
My mom, I remember the first time I disowned my mother because like she did this whole thing where she would like, oh my God, and I would block and whatnot. So then she hit and I grabbed her wrist and I pulled it and I got the spoon away from her. I spun her around and I smacked her on her ass and I went, ha ha! And she lost it. We were laughing hysterical. That was really funny. I remember that vividly. I got to this thing too when my mother was very small. And when I was, you know, I got bigger than her when I was like 18, 17, 18, right? And she was 5 foot nothing, right? 100 pounds. And I would do this thing where she would start acting up, whatever. And I'd be like, Mom, stop, you know? And she'd be like, all in a bitchy mood. I'm like, give me a hug. And I would hold her. I'd pick her up and I'd turn her sideways and hold her like a battering ram.
Yeah.
And I would raid the refrigerator. And I would go, Tally ho! And I would run and I'd hit her. And she'd be like, Joey, put me down. We used to laugh all the time. Yeah, it was fun. My son's going to be huge, too, and Bessie's not too big, so I wonder what that's going to be like when that square off.
You mean he's tall for his age? Or?
He's going to be a big boy, yeah. He's percentile-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got his grandfather's genes, not his dad's. My dad was big, not me.
So how tall was your father?
6'4".
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was 6'4". That was 6'4". My mom was 5 foot nothing.
No way.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. 6 foot. Yeah. He was 6'4". He played, he was a tight end in, he played football.
Oh, what a disappointment.
Yeah, he was so disappointed. That's why he died. He was like, fuck it.
Bowling?
He's like, he's good at math. You went bowling, I went math. He's like, that's a wrap.
We still have got to go bowling. I got to see you
in action. Weekend. No, are we can we? Maybe.
I'd love to see you bowl.
We're in Florida.
I would love
they
to
have
see
bowling
you bowl.
Lanes in Florida.
I'm sure you're going to be phenomenal.
Oh, it's fun.
You could do the.
I don't do a big turn. I do more of a diagonal, like a soft pocket, they call it.
Yeah.
I don't do a cross alley pocket.
I just go straight down the pike.
You can. Yeah.
It's more impressive than you think, by
Who
the way,
are you?
For Joe.
Sorry, what's that?
He. I knew he was bowling was his thing, but then the first time I saw him bowl, I'm like, wow, this is really his thing. The number one thing that's different is the velocity he throws the balls down the thing.
Oh, you can get
it's
a
like the equivalent of seeing someone throw a fastball and you're standing in the batter's box. Like he's hawking the fucking
yeah,
really.
I get good velocity.
Do you? So how frequently do you? Because I assume it's one of those things where like you played college ball, so I mean you could pick up a baseball today, warm up your arm for 2 or 3 minutes, and kind of get back. Like bowling though, it's a I would think that you'd have to really be consistent with that. When's the last time you went bowling?
Well, 2 months ago after we went, after a show. I'll do it sometimes after a show. We try to find something fun to do in a room. We did an escape room last weekend.
That's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, but I did.
Did you get out?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
3 minutes left.
Really?
Yeah, it was great.
Did you get help from, because sometimes the people,
we did. But we didn't abuse it, I wouldn't say. I probably got 2 more hints than we should have.
Yeah.
The story didn't really connect at the end, though. That happens a lot with those escape rooms. They try to make it harder at the end, and it's like the logic they use to make a jump doesn't.
Right.
Like
yeah.
there was these beer bottles, and it didn't really. And I was like, why these 4 bottles? Like it was 4 bottles out of the 7.
Right.
And I was like, why? And they're like, oh, because they all have crowns on them. And I'm like, yeah, but why? Like that doesn't. You didn't. There's none that alludes to that. You know?
Right.
So that was the jump. That's what made us hit the stop, and we had to get a couple hints to get that.
Yeah.
And then everything else, we did all right. Yeah. But bowling is always fun for me, because I just. People don't expect that I'm okay at it, you know. So it's like, it's when I start.
What's your best?
Don't talk about
what's your best score
in high school? I did a 288.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was a fluke though. It
wasn't is 300 the
300 is the highest? Yeah, it was
you
a fluke.
Hit 288.
288. I got yeah.
It if you did that consistently, you'd be a professional.
100%. Well, yeah. Well, professionals roll 300s on the regular. Yeah.
Well, I the last time I watched a
Pro Bowl
was Pete. Was it Pete Weber?
Yeah, when he's like, you got the
Who do you think you are? I am.
Yeah, who do you think you are? I am. It's such a great line.
The best. But there was like a little 30 for 30 short on that moment.
Oh, is there?
That he did. But
my dad used to watch bowling on the weekends on television.
That was such a,
crazy.
like you think of like the circa 40s, 50s, maybe into the 60s, bowling was so, like bowling alleys were packed all the time.
It Boys was, night out was bowling.
Yeah.
A men's league was really how it all took off. It was the husbands getting together to go spend a Thursday night. Thursday night bowling or something. My dad did it. And then my mom and dad did a mixed league and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. My dad was on two leagues. He did a mixed league on Tuesday and Thursday he did a guy's league. He went two times a week. He loved
I don't know anybody that goes
I would love to join a bowling league. I would love it.
Yeah.
I would love it if I'm home enough.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Yeah, about. Because it's normally Thursday, Friday, or Saturday.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I can't wait to see you go bowling.
We'll do it.
We
have to stop talking about it and do it because we said this multiple times that we're going to go bowling together and we need to.
Yeah. I got to see you in action. Okay, here, this is coming to us from Stacy. Question, my daughter graduated high school last week. What is some of the best career advice you've been given I can give her? To a high school graduate.
Ask her who her three best friends were.
Yeah.
Tell her to hang out with them for about 6 or 7 years. Nothing's going to happen. Then think about a hidden camera comedy show. And then boom, your life will change. For high schoolers, I would say I think the biggest pressure coming out of high school into college is knowing what you want to do with your life, right?
Yeah.
I think that's an overbearing thing that coming out of it. Even like college kids, it's like, oh, I don't know what I want to do. It's fine.
It's
especially
totally
the
fine,
first couple years of college, if you're going to college, and she said she was going to college. If you are going to college, it's like just try to, you know, think about the way I found a big thing I helped was find people who do professions and speak to them.
Right, right.
Don't think about, read about what a profession is or whatever. Like, try to find. Like, that's how I found accounting. Because I was talking, I almost led to try to go into the FBI through accounting. Because there's an... for criminology, like, to get through, you could do in, like, audit, investigative audit and stuff like that.
You were interested in becoming an FBI agent,
for sure.
Really?
Yeah, I applied for the program and everything. My school was one of the ones on the East Coast that they pulled for internships. So I applied for the program. I didn't get it, unfortunately.
God, could you imagine if you got that?
What a different life I'd lead. Could you imagine?
You'd be the ultimate spy. Because you'd be throwing out these, like bait and traps with your outlandish behaviors. You'd be the MVP of the FBI.
You're right.
You might be running for office in the multiverse. You busted a major case.
Major case. Busted it wide open. Solved the arms problem in West Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Big crackdown there on the guns that were being run. AR-15s
and whatnot. Federal Joey.
Right. Fed Joe comes in. Found out that the import-export was coming out of the west side. We wanted to stop it. I went undercover. I went deep. 4 years. Grew mustache. Handlebar.
Yeah.
Yep. Went by Big Tony. Big Tony on the streets of West Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I dove in deep, solved the case, big crackdown, went all the way up. You didn't even realize how up it went. You thought it stopped here? Go one more. That's where it was, to the ceiling.
Have you ever grown a mustache?
No, I had a goatee for a hot minute.
Did you really?
I did, like because I was in shape for a while. It's on the show, actually.
On the show?
Well, I came as a joke. I had the flu.
Right.
And I was just bedridden, whatever, for like a week almost. Like, I didn't do anything, didn't shave or nothing. I was bad. And I had a little scruff growing out. And I was like, oh, I was like, you know what? Let me keep this a surprise. Let me keep this for a minute. So I did like a beard. It wasn't a goatee. It was more than a goatee. It was a beard, like, ish thing. But it doesn't really grow in, you know? And so I showed up, and I had the whole band. The guy's like, what the hell is this? I kind of liked the way it looked. The guys kind of did, too. Bessie hated it. And then eventually it was just, like, too much. Like, I was like, this is itchy.
Yeah, it gets itchy and scraggly. Yeah. To a high school graduate?
Oh, there it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look unhealthy.
I do.
Yeah, you look like you're, like you just got out of the hospital.
I do. Yeah. I do, but in like in a hot way, you mean, right?
Well,
no, I did just get out. I just kind of look. I dropped a lot of pounds. That's fresh off of flu.
Like if you were cast in the movie Philadelphia, that's what you would look like.
I'm telling you, West Philadelphia.
I want to hear the Bruce Springsteen song as we play this, and just.
I'll tell you, this is, you know why I look like that.
Why?
It's because that's the fresh off the flu. Dropped 20 pounds.
You look good.
I dropped 20 pounds.
Yeah,
and had a beard.
Give me that flu now.
You see that?
I'll take
sneeze in my mouth. Yeah, isn't that crazy? That's why.
Well, to your young daughter, I'd say, you know, especially somebody graduating high school, I would just say, just enjoy these next few years.
Sure.
Like, don't put too much pressure on yourself. Have a blast. Go out there. Make some mistakes. Travel. You know, I would, you know, to your point, don't be in a rush to,
yep.
I mean, you have so much time.
Dabble.
Yeah.
Dabble. Try things. See if they work.
Our age, not much time left.
We're on the other side of it.
Yeah, we're on the fourth quarter. It's like, oh, God, I still want to do
fourth
this.
Fourth quarter, I'm in overtime. Sudden death.
All right, here we go. Let's see here. Hi, Mamacitas. My husband and I have a 3-year-old daughter and have recently been going back and forth if we should have another child. We have the means. We love being parents and feel like we could handle the responsibility. The part we get stuck on is if we want to change our currently family dynamic. See, I have a sister who I have a strained relationship with most of my life, and I don't want that for our daughter. My husband is an only child and loves the idea of having a larger family. We're stuck. What's your advice on making such a big decision? Love you both. Carly, I'd say have that second kid.
Me too. You and your sister's bullshit has nothing to do with how this kid's going to grow up.
Yeah.
You can't have that. You can't bring that baggage with you. And the only child is weird. Your husband's weird. Look at it. He's a weird guy.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. Not saying he's not nice.
I'm sure he's nice.
Probably a little weird.
But he's definitely a little weird.
Weird. Single, only children? Oh, bizarre.
They're always
the
little,
worst.
Yeah.
Ugh. Scared. I don't want to be in a group of them.
Little selfish.
They always have a little smell. The hygiene wasn't a thing. You know? No, I'm kidding. You know, I'm a big fan of... Here's the biggest thing for me. And we joke about it all the time and, you know, about my parents being dead and whatnot. But I really think that not having siblings in that situation makes it way harder. Mm-hmm. I think a sibling... I mean, that's... I say to my kids all the time, I was like, what are you doing? This is your brother. This is the person you're going to know the longest in your life.
Right, yeah.
This is the person who's going to be around the most in your life. I'm going to be gone. Mom's going to be gone. This person's going to still be here and see you with your kids, see you with that, you know? So it's... I think that for me... Selfishly, it's to provide a sibling or a partner for the kid.
I agree with you, and I also think it's another facet of like social dynamics, right? Like, we're both parents, but I think I know I obviously have friends that don't have any kids,
mm-hmm.
and I think once again, when you have kids, it's just another social dynamic that you have where. It's a relationship unlike any other that somebody without kids will never understand.
Yeah.
And I think it's that same thing, too, where when you have a brother or sister, again, it's another social dynamic that if you're an only child, you'll never understand unless you have that.
For sure.
So I think it's important to have that. I think it's another asset in learning how to communicate.
I could tell, too, just from the tone that they want another kid.
Yeah,
from the tone of the message, it feels like she just needs somebody to say, yeah, put it in. Yeah.
I think you already know the answer, but I absolutely think you should do it. And my daughter and son, when we go on vacation, whatever, there's always somebody there. There's always somebody to come
with. I like
it.
I like the playmate dynamic. I like the teaching each other, especially if they're the opposite sex, teaching each other about boys and girls and like the dynamic of a lady and a gentleman and all that kind of stuff. I think it's good.
And there's the comfort, like we both have the same dynamic, older sister, younger brother. And I'd been talking to a good friend of mine who grew up, he was the youngest, he had two sisters. And I think even that dynamic, right? You're not as nervous to talk to a girl now.
Yeah, that's what I have.
You don't have the inhibitions that I had when I was cripplingly nervous around girls because it was just me and my brother. And maybe if I had a sister, I'd feel more comfortable. My son plays with the girls in the neighborhood as much as those. Play Nerf and war with the boys. So
you understand them because you're with women in their formative years.
Yeah,
like I vividly remember my sisters in their teens, and the emotions and the conversations and everything that surrounded that.
Yeah,
and I think just being privy to that at a younger age really opens your eyes to. It builds empathy too. I think it has a big part of the compassion.
Yeah.
That you have too. So, yeah,
have that kid,
bang it out.
We're very, very happy for you. It's going to be a...
name it Steve.
Name it...
Steve could be either sex.
Excuse me?
Stevie. You name it Stevie, it could be either sex. Stevie's a girl.
A girl with a cool... With like a girl that's named Billy.
Awesome.
You never meet an ugly Billy.
No way. Joey?
Yeah.
Love a Joey.
She's like
Frankie?
The hottest...
Frankie?
Well, that's like... You would love that.
Oh my God, Frankie. Love a Frankie.
A Frankie is like the hot bartender.
Yep.
But she's like banging the chief of police, but everybody knows she's got a husband. And that's always what a Frankie does. A Frankie.
So Frankie. That's so Frankie.
That is so Frankie. Okay. Here we go. Hey, mommies. Can't wait for the merch to drop. It's going to be bazonkers.
We have to make merch.
That's from Vanessa.
Okay.
But she said bazonkers.
Love it.
Your birthdays are fast approaching. What was your favorite birthday and why? And Joe, what's up, you fellow Gemini?
Oh, yeah.
I'll see you in Toronto.
Yay. Toronto. Come there end of June.
It's Vanessa. You have a favorite birthday?
I mean, at this point, I'll be 47 this year.
Yep.
I've had many a birthday. My 40th birthday was pretty badass. My 40th birthday was great. I wanted to celebrate in a big way. Literally took everybody in my extended family important to me, and we went to Turks and Caicos for 5 days. Mm-hmm. Rented a villa, hung out, and just chilled. Really liked that birthday. That was really fun. I also do remember my bike birthday. I got a bike for Christmas, a KMX, like a cheap bike. But then I really wanted a nice bike. And my dad told me, my birthday comes towards the end of the year for school year. So my dad told me, all right, you keep your grades up, which was always, he just was his way to be like, you're going to get this, because he knew I was
a nerd. Right, yeah. You probably always had good grades.
Yes, yeah, always. So he was always like, you know, keep your grades up and we'll get you this, whatever. And then he promised he would get me a Mongoose bike.
You got a Mongoose? I got a Redline.
Did you get a Redline?
Redline or Mongoose? It was the
Mongoose
or
Diamondback with the two in Staten Island.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
I got a Mongoose, and I was like, that was like super cool. I was like, that
so
was...
if you get a Mongoose, you put the pegs on the back, and then you get Frankie to stand on the back, and she holds your shoulders.
Shrugs. Oh, I take away that answer completely. My best birthday is my 12th birthday.
12th, yeah.
Hands down. We went to see Willow, the movie, as my birthday party, the movie Willow. And then I got Pipeworks for my birthday. Which was
they're like Lego
PVC,
kind of
they're like PVC connected pipes that you could build like a go-kart out of. They came with wheels and whatnot. And it was one of my best birthdays ever. I had gotten it. I didn't have many friends at that point in my life. And Willow really inspired me to my inner geek, where I was like, it's very Lords of the Ringsy, the movie, if you don't know it, very elves and whatnots, elves and knights. And I made a sword and a shield, and I battled an imaginary dragon to the best of my abilities. And then,
wait, how old are you?
I was 12, and my best friend Jason was playing football with all the cool kids in his yard. Yeah. Saw me battling and asked me what the hell I was doing. I turned beet red, tried to walk away, and he asked me if I needed help. And I said, "Yeah." He came over. He built a staff, and we all battled. Oh, that's awesome. That whole summer, we played adventure games in my yard.
It was pretty
awesome.
Sweet of Jason.
Jason's the best.
He didn't tear you down.
You met Jason. Jason in Vegas. Jason.
Yeah.
From Arizona.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Jason, the best. Still my oldest friend, meaning I know him since I was 2 and he was 1. And we're still friends.
Really?
Yeah.
I think my father got me a go-kart when I was like 10 or 11. Maybe it was 9. I was living in New Jersey. This was before I went to Pittsburgh. So I had to be like 9 or 10 maybe.
Yeah.
I was young. Very young. Got me a go-kart.
Legit go-kart?
Legit go-kart.
Guess one?
No.
Wow.
And so it has this little compartment, but it had this like little area where you could have a friend sit down. My brother gotten it, okay, and I had never driven anything in my life. And this thing's, it goes pretty fast.
Yeah. And you're low to the ground.
You're very low to the ground. So my dad's like, yeah, go ahead, drive it. It's this big metal honking go-kart. And I drove it, and I hit this turn, and my brother was sitting in the side. And my brother, he must have been 6, he just, adios, he just went... into the gravel, ate gravel, and to this day, I laugh thinking about that. It just like, can you imagine? I would never put my son or daughter, but in like the 80s, nobody gave a shit. There's no helmets, there's no nothing.
Yeah.
He's just hold like on tight, pulling out gas powered engine, goes, yeah, just go for it. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's banana. That is bazonkers.
Bazonkers, for sure.
Bam. Yeah, anytime we say bazonkers, it should go bam, and we should have a thing, bazonkers, like a
bazonkers.
But I think the best one I ever had was I was 5, and I remember my mom picking me up out of school early, and she drove me to our house and had set up a table with gift bags and balloons. And she's like, oh, we're having a party for your birthday. I think it was like a summer camp thing or whatever. And And I just remember being so surprised and shocked, and the gift bags were so cool. And then friends from the neighborhood were coming over,
cool.
And it was like, it was maybe it's because it's the first birthday I remember.
Yeah.
But I just remember as a kid, like, wow, this is really awesome. Yeah. Like, this is pretty sick.
I never had a surprise party. I don't think I ever had a surprise party.
I've never had one.
Your whole story was just how you had a surprise party.
But I'm 5.
Are you kidding?
I'm 5.
Are you kidding me? You just told a whole story about how you had a surprise, which inspires me to respond in kind that I've never had one. You look me dead in the eye, go, neither did I. Are you on fucking crack? Am I in assimilation right now?
But when you're 5, you're not like I wouldn't even know what day it is. It's not like I'm gonna be like, oh, when am I gonna get a surprise party? Like, I wouldn't even know. But I think a surprise party is like when you're later in life. That's what I would associate it with.
Or is this a party that you didn't know was happening and you showed up and they went, "I'm throwing you a party," and you went, "Really? I'm so surprised." It has all the elements. You're so dumb.
I want to
see dumb.
I want to see the clip of this where you go, where you, because I love when the wheels start, because you just reach on your face so much. Are you fucking kidding me? You just said
it's most likely our clip.
God. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Surprise.
Surprise party. Okay.
You never had one.
I never did.
Okay. This is a. Now, I know we're here to self-help, but this is a pretty interesting question. It's coming to us from Suzanne.
Yep.
Suzanne J is her middle name. Hey, Joe. Hey, Steve. If you were given a magic potion that could start your life over again at any point in time, which year would you pick and what would you do differently? So you have a magic potion you could start your life over at any point in time. The easy answer is I just wouldn't.
Right.
Right.
Because you get to where you are because of the way everything pans out.
Because you're happy. I'm happy. I'm happy the way
you get to erase the years. Like if you say 21, you erase everything from 21, but you still know who yourself is, or you're starting your life over. Like you don't know who you are.
No, I interpret it as you take it. Like, what was the biggest mistake of your life that you want to erase and start over again from that point on?
Okay.
So,
but you still know who you are.
Yeah, you still know who you are. And then those years, like if you had a bad string of years, it's hard to, if you can't go back real far, because then you're just throwing off the whole thing, right? So it's got to be of recent. I mean, for me, 2021 jumped out because of everything that happened in my life at that point, you know, but I don't, to your point, I don't think I would, I don't know if I would do it because you get to where you are. I'm a firm believer and you gotta get through what you gotta get through.
Like
to
I
be
would
where you
dread,
are.
Dread being 22. Like if I woke up tomorrow and I was 22, and I was just starting to do stand-up again, I'd be like, oh my God, this is going to be the fucking worst. Because I know everything I had to endure to get to this point. But when you're young, you're optimistic. You don't know any better. When I'm my age now and looking back, it's like, oh God, I can't do that.
How did I do that?
How did you ever get through that stuff? Yeah. It was just absolutely brutal.
I'd have some people I'd slip that into their drink.
Excuse me?
Drop a little poshy potion to their drinks. Did you order the margarita? I have some people I give that to in a certain year or two. I don't know. My baseline with that is you can never think that way because you'll never be happy. You'll never be happy. You always could have done something different. You always could have made a different move. Something better or worse could have happened to you.
Yeah.
You know? It just blows my mind that, you know, you could, if you don't forget your car keys one day, you could be dead in a car crash that would have happened if you didn't forget your keys and you got in your car and left and then somebody ran a light.
Right.
And when that person ran a light, nobody was there, thank God. But if you got your keys, you would have been in the middle of that intersection. Like, that shit blows my mind. Everything happens seriously the way it's supposed to.
Watch Back to the Future and then understand there's a second one and a third one all because they fucked with time. So don't do it. Don't do it.
I think you said it's the second and third one because it was the first one. It's hard to have a second and third movie without
but you
a first
watch
one.
Those and true. You're like, wow, it all those
threads
and all the multiverse movies and all this stuff, it's just like, don't mess with time.
Yeah.
And I think I think if you're happy with where you are, but I'm very happy with where I am.
But even if you're unhappy, the way I think of it too, it's like you could be so much unhappier. Or worse, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Unless you were in line at the grocery store and you let the person confront you and they were the millionth customer and they got like $1 million.
Chug.
You take Give me the magic potion right now.
Yeah. We're also talking, we're pretty fortunate to live pretty good lives. I wanted to preface this as well. I'm sure there's lots of our listeners like, you're fucking crazy. Of course, before that big accident, before somebody lost somebody tragically, whatever, something happened like that, they'll want to take that potion. And I get that for sure. But we only can answer from our perspective. And for me, even all the stuff I've had to endure that sucked bad, I do think that you need to, you know, I've always had tried to keep the mindset. And it's been hard at times to be like, hey, this is where I have to be.
Yeah.
So. But that $1 million, I mean, fuck that guy. You can't cut me, ma'am. I don't care if it's only one loaf of bread. You're going to wait till I ring up my Drake's cakes.
Okay, this is coming to us from John. What are some ways to deal with mental health? Also, I love you guys. Thanks for everything. Mental health is something that, I'll tell you, it was never a thing growing up for me. I've never heard anybody say mental health. And I'll tell you this, I never believed in it, even when people are like, I need my mental health. And it's just like when Simone Biles, I think, didn't compete in an Olympic event or whatever because of mental health. I was like, well, that's part of being a top tier athlete is the mental aspect. I think the physical aspect is probably 80%, but 20% has got
to
be
being able to mental capacity.
Yeah. And I'm sure that there's things Tom Brady does or Aaron Rodgers or LeBron or you name it, that they do mentally to prepare themselves to stay, I guess, elevated and healthy. But I just never bought into it. I think there are bouts where life kind of sucks. And then I watched one of those Untold documentaries on Netflix. Documentary, there he is, about a tennis player. I forget the gentleman's name, but he was talking about the toils that he faced with mental health. Mm. And I was like, oh, well, okay. That was the first time I kind of had seen something where
your eyes to it a little.
I was a little more respectful to those individuals that are dealing with it. I think by large in part, there's a lot of people that use it as a crutch, as an excuse. But I do obviously acknowledge that it absolutely does exist and people are dealing with it. I think that that's one of those things where I think that's where the professionals come into play. I don't know. I've never. I've had bouts of depression or whatever. I think anybody has.
Yeah, every time we record. Yeah, you're like trying to fight. Like I gotta fight this and get through this episode. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that you know, you got to do what makes you happy. I don't know. I really don't know because I'm not in that situation, you know? I'm not going to pretend to know.
100%. Yeah. I think that's great. I think it's smart. And the big thing I think is I don't think anybody knows because I don't think when it comes to mental health, there's no across-the-board answer. Some people can deal with so much shit in their life with a smile on their face. Other people could get turned down a dark, deep, dark vortex with the littlest thing.
You break your arm, we know what to do.
Right.
We put in a cast. 100%. We wait 6 weeks.
The mind.
Our
eyes have definitely been open to it more as a society, I think, as our children come in. I think especially the pandemic and the way that affected everybody. Mm-hmm. There's no way to say that you haven't been affected by that, you know, by the whole world and dealing with all that and everything that's been torn. So I think it really shined a spotlight on it. But growing up, it was like, you know, the walk it off mentality or, you know, 100%, absolutely, you know, that kind of thing is not, it's not really around. But I do think that people do have different, with anything, pain, ability to deal with bullshit, people have different thresholds. And when it comes to mental health, people have different thresholds. I feel like I'm a pretty resilient person. I feel like I can handle a lot and go. But then if I get looked at by a professional, they're probably like, you're just not dealing with it. And I don't know what that means, but I'm just operating as myself.
Right.
So there's no across the board answer. What I would say is you have to do the best to take care of yourself because no one's going to take care of you.
Right.
You need to do what you need to take care of yourself. It's not on anybody else to make you feel better or feel good. You need to get in right with yourself.
Yes.
And that's what I've learned over this past couple rough years is that, you know, it's on you to really make sure that you're okay.
To right the ship. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, my brother deals with it. He's a war vet, right? So I think anybody that's experienced war or has been over in the Middle East and even been in the peripheral of war, they all come back with mental health issues. You know, it's one of those things, I think especially with our veterans or people currently serving, that the government doesn't seem to really be too supportive with them, other than...
Hey, 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 don't open up a box of controversial worms, because I'm not fishing. I'm not going to get in a debate about the government's policies on helping the vets.
Okay.
I won't do it.
Let's talk about abortion.
Let's pick something light, like abortion.
Yes, please.
Okay, thanks.
Glad we got through it.
Yeah. Woo! No, I do think, but I do think, and anybody, especially because us, we came up in a very different time, right?
Yeah.
You know, people who are in their 20s and 30s now have a very different experience than us when we came into our 20s and 30s, even late teens to mid-20s, you know, college kid to age stuff. I think there's more of a focus on it, but I think there's also so much more resources. So tap into what you need to. You know, you're able to find stuff. So do what you need to make sure that you're doing okay upstairs.
Because no matter what it is, whatever your strife is, whatever the adversary that you're trying to overcome, I think that there's an individual or a group of individuals or group that's dealing with the same issues.
Yep.
And that is one of the nice things about the internet, is that you can find forums and groups that
are
there to be supportive of each other. Absolutely. Yeah.
What's your category when you're
searching? Because before, if it was like AA, you'd go to the church, you meet up with Alcoholics Anonymous or whatever, and now there's all these different subsects of groups that are out there to support each other in a healthy dynamic, which I think is great. So
yeah, that's what I mean. That's what you mean. This is we crushed that one. That was a good one. We did well. And also, we'll also put the asterisks on. We're not professionals. Seek professional help.
We're not professionals. Definitely, yeah.
Barely professional comedians.
Almost professional bowler.
Yes.
All right, one more. This is coming to us from Braden. Hey, you beautiful mommies. I have a pretty serious question for you guys. What is your favorite nut and why?
Macadamia. Exotic. Next.
A macadamia.
Love a macadamia. Hawaiian. Love Hawaiian macadamia nut. I can eat a macadamia nut by the poundage.
Do they come out of Hawaii? Because that's I always associate them with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're grown in Hawaii.
I'm pretty sure, right? A macadamia nut comes from Hawaii. It's Hawaii.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Walnut.
Walnut's versatile.
Walnut, no.
Pecan?
No. Almond.
Really?
An almond.
Wow. For the milk?
I love a...
Because it's versatile?
I love a salted almond.
Yes, the cow.
I love a honey roasted almond.
It's the cow of the nuts.
I love an almond joy.
Oh, got nuts.
Mounds. Give me that Mounds.
Mounds don't.
Take it back.
Don't. Bring Come it see back. Me when you put an almond in it.
Thank you.
Yes, rewrap that bitch.
Yeah.
In a different, make it blue. I don't want a red one. almond is pretty versatile. I'll give you that. Macadamia is, as a standalone treat, macadamia. But it's hard to, a regular peanut, man. Versatility.
It's tough to beat a peanut.
You got a butter. Right? You got an ice cream topping for a crumble. You got a cup. Right? You got, here's one you're not even thinking
peanut
about.
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter. I said, that's the first one I started with. You should really listen to this podcast.
Okay, here's my favorite nut. You ready? Lance Armstrong.
Surprise. Thanks so much for listening to Cool Moms. I've been Joe Gatto. This has been Steve Byrne. And we got to get to stepping.
These mommies love you, so show us some love.
Please rate us and review us, follow us on all social media, and subscribe to our YouTube.